Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network. Your host for today's show is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy. So get a spot of tea, sit down and relax, because it's time for another show on the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network.
Yeah, that's true. White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling with your daily radio show on what the hell's going on. You've got it figured out? Well, hell, I haven't. Let me know. Hey, man, those frogs are getting upset over there in France. And the Wall Street urinal that I got a free copy of. Got a big picture today of all these so-called world leaders marching arm in arm in France, showing that they're not going to take it anymore, and these ISIS guys just better lay off, and man, they better not try that again. Bravado, bravado, bravado. And there was a nitwit, Netanyahu, right on the front row. Be perfectly honest, I don't blame Obama for not going over to there, because that stuff means nothing. Absolutely nothing. Any unconventional warfare group that wants to do something can do it anytime they want, especially if they're not afraid to die, or they may not want to die, but they're willing to die. There's no defense, no politician, no big shot in Washington, London, Paris, Berlin, Rome. There's no defense against it. And as the world becomes even more screwed up than it already is, and overpopulation, of course, is moving fast, there's going to be more and more and more of it, and there's not a goddamn thing they can do about it except blow off the steam that they're going to stop this. They ain't going to put up with this terrorism. Well, number one, there is no terrorism. There's only unconventional warfare. And there's nothing that these naughty boys in ISIS or the Arabs have done that we these countries haven't done to them tenfold. So it's amazing how people delude themselves. I listen to these different radio shows. They don't get it. They don't get it. These people come into your country by the thousands and thousands, 5 million in France. And just like the Mexicans here, probably 20 million. And then they think everything's going to be okay. Everybody's going to assimilate. It's going to be hunky-dory. I got a message for you. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way. Yeah. All you have to do is study crowd psychology and the psychology of the masses. And also, what's the other one? The art of contrary thinking. And on every major issue, if you took the opposite position, I mean, there's probably 100 opposite positions, but if you took an opposite position, you'd probably be right. if you follow this crazy crowd, you're never going to be right, because they're led to the slaughter. Led to the slaughter. I heard this on the satellite radio early this morning. It was on CNN, which I usually don't listen to. But they were talking about the militias, you know, primarily white militias, even though a lot of those militias say, oh, no, we're not racist. We'd let black people into our militia anytime. The trouble is, I don't think there are many black people want to be in their militia. Go way up in the mountains and hide out. I've been trying to tell people that's not the way it's going to happen. It could happen somewhat that way later on, maybe last-ditch activity. But starting a militia and hiding up in the woods, never going to change anything. Just like what I told Dr. Fields, or Dr. Pierce, way back. He said, I'm moving out there into West Virginia. Get me a big place. I said, that's the wrong thing to do. If you want to be of any effect, have any real action, you stay in the city. Stay in Washington, D.C. and keep putting out your attack paper. You're doing great. No, Tom, I'm going out into the boonies and hide. Well, you see what happened. Now that's pretty well all gone. I guess now Mr. Gleevey's gone and the rest of them are fighting over the spoils. I understand they put Will Williams in charge. Yeah, Will Williams, I've known him for years. He has some good attributes, but he's not a man that can pull National Alliance together. He doesn't have quite what it's going to take to do that. And that's good, because the more of these big organizations that are leading people to the slaughter, full of informants, agents of all kind, and people with pretending they got high character, and a lot of them got very, very low character. Let them go. It's time. The Klan, all that stuff. Get rid of it. Starting all over again. But starting with the individual, the lone wolf. Yeah, later on, when things really get fired up, there may be a time to bring all these cells and lone wolves together into one mass organization. But I think that's a long time off. I think it's a long time off. Well, anyhow, I was listening to this show about this militia. I've debated militiamen before. Almost none of them want to admit to be racist. But anyhow, in fact, I debated them on national TV. But anyhow, they wanted, you know, up in Montana and all over the place, and a lot of right-wingers that I actually know, some of them, have gone from California up into Montana. We're going to have a standoff up here. We're going to have something like Aryan Nations had up there in Idaho. Well, they're just lambs being led to the slaughter. And so the first part of this that I was going to run for you, told about this militia, Seven Square or something like that, and about how that was set up, which that all fell apart. But there was one guy that went to prison. His heart seemed to be in the right place, but he's wasting himself running around the woods. So let's listen to this and see what you think. I heard he's still out there. I don't know. I don't know whether he's been arrested or not.
Only for us to go and try and find the person and find out what was going on. As we pulled into the wreck area, I could see the guy outside his truck. The trunk was open and he was doing something at the trunk. The guy had gotten in his car and started driving out, so we passed each other. As he's leaving, he just plain runs the stop sign. He gets on the highway and he speeds up to 80, 85. And when I ran the plate, dispatch told me that he was on federal and state probation.
I have information that he's violent towards law enforcement.
At that point, he slowed quickly and then made a hard right turn on the Jeep trail that goes by the power lines. This is bad. He's taking us into the wilderness. He's trying to isolate us. This wasn't going to end well. Once we got towards the top of the ridge line, my concern was he was now looking for an opportunity to engage us in a gunfight.
Forget about Project 7. Forget about all the militia ideas. Now it was David Berger against the cops.
He started slowing down. We could see him looking around left to right. I thought, okay, this is it. He's going to get out and start shooting. But he pulled hard to the right and then just went off-road. On top of the hill, Berger stopped and jumped out of his vehicle. He got up that hill. I started running up the hill with my rifle. He had a gun pointing at me. I was looking down the barrel of his gun, and then I saw the gun go off. He shot directly at me. I fired off 5 rounds. I assumed we'd hit him or he was hiding behind his Jeep, so we slowly worked up the hill. And when we got to the point we could see behind the vehicle, he wasn't there. Berger was gone. That was the moment that I knew he'd just tried to kill me, and I had no idea where he was, and it made the hair on the back of my neck stand up.
The FBI and U.S. Marshals have joined in the hunt for a known militia man, David Berger, after he shot at Missoula County Sheriff's deputies. He's armed, at least with a handgun, and he's considered extremely dangerous.
We didn't know if he'd been shot. We didn't know if he was waiting to ambush deputies. We weren't able to find any blood, but a lot of times people don't leave or animals leave a blood trail. The manhunt ramped up quickly. 80 to 100 officers doing a ground search. And when that came up negative, we knew then that he was out of our immediate perimeter.
Later, they found caches in the woods.
Food, extra clothing, sleeping bags.
When the stashes were found, it became clear that he had a plan for how he wanted it to play out.
Unless you go to Montana, you don't really understand how vast these areas are. They searched for David Berger, but he disappeared into thin air.
There are a lot of where's Dave Berger theories. Has he met up with militia groups that are plotting and planning other things?
That would be a real possibility, that he had joined another group that felt he was a hero for the cause. I wouldn't be surprised that he's still in Montana or Idaho.
This guy, for his entire life, could not stay out of trouble. I just don't buy that all of a sudden, after decades of run-ins with law enforcement, he would stay completely undercover for years. I think he's dead.
There's been no sign at all that we have a dead body up in the woods. We haven't seen any scrap of clothing, any bones.
David Berger is armed and dangerous. He's already fired at cops. He knows how to live in those mountains. He's a survivalist. I believe David Berger is out there. David Berger is a skilled outdoorsman, extremely familiar with weapons. He's openly hostile toward government and law enforcement, and he's armed and dangerous. If you've seen David Berger or have any information as to his whereabouts, please call 1-866-THE-HUNT or go online at cnn.com, The Hunt. You can remain anonymous. We'll pass your tip on to the proper authorities, and if requested, we'll not reveal your name.
Berger's a big guy. He's disguised himself in the past. He may have gained weight. He may have lost weight. He's had long hair in the past. He's had short hair. I would encourage anybody that has had any dealings with David Berger to call law enforcement.
I don't know how he got away. They don't know how he got away. They're pissed off that he got away. This guy left everybody in Montana with one big puzzling mystery. Where is David Berger?
go. Another horror story. Just bad. Just bad. Now, I don't know whether Berger's alive or dead or whether they've caught him or what. But here's a lot of good men that are, and women that are going down a tube and serving long periods in prison. And they're really not accomplishing anything. You know, what's up there in the damn woods? I mean, is there full of niggers? Is it full of Jews? Is it full of Mexicans? Is it full of rotten politicians? Hell no. Nobody up in those woods but the white cops that are chasing you. And even though I don't have much use for cops, to run around the woods shooting at local cops doesn't make any sense at all if you're into this, we're going to straighten out the country. You want to do things like that, you better go to the big city, not out in the woods. Like those two blacks did in, what was it, Baltimore? Drilled a hole in the back of their car, on their trunk lid, and started blasting people, almost brought the country to its knees in just a few weeks. So, anyhow, I think if there wasn't a militia, I think that the FBI would create a militia because it acts like a magnet to bring a lot of good, basic people, a lot of times not too bright. A lot of times are way off into fanatic Christianity and stuff like that. But they don't get anywhere. And I remember those ones here a few years ago that went to prison for, I don't know, 20 years or something. And they were into that sovereign citizen stuff. And they were not having driver's license. And they wouldn't put plates on their car, and oh man, I talked to a few of them back in the 80s and 90s. I said, you know, this is crazy. You're not going to get anywhere this way. But anyhow, that's it, and I hope David Berger is free and clear and maybe hiding out in China. But still, if you know anybody that's in these militias, unless they're a lot smarter than the ones I've run into, get them out. Get them out. Now, there's no doubt that we may all end up living in the woods. But it's going to be because they ran our ass into the woods. That can happen. That could happen someday. But the woods is the last place you want to go. Because most people, city people, even urban people, they don't know how to live in the woods. I mean, you know, we give you a lot of information on here, but how many of you, you know, memorize it and remember it and prepare for it? No, it's a bad situation. So, anyhow. Now, if I was going to be David Berger, I'd head for the Big Apple. And probably like George Lincoln Rockwell, I'd live in a nigger ghetto. Like Rockwell and the boys and the Oakland Suicide Squad did. Or it might even be easier in Mexican ghetto, barrio. Hell yes. Put a little brown shoe polish on, dye your hair black, become a compasero. Yeah! Actually, Mexicans and the blacks are easier on a personal basis. It's easier to get along with them than the average white person. My problems around here are all these white people, the white Christians, the white Republican-run newspapers and all that shit. I can sit down and talk to a black working-class guy or a Mexican working-class guy all afternoon. Have no problem at all. But it's the white people. It's the white people. Somebody sent me a note that they're putting out all over the place and saying, what's going on with the white people? He said, you go to Walmart or any of them, and they look terrible. They look like throwbacks. They look like inbred bastards. They're terribly obese. Not really worth saving as far as I'm concerned, and that's what I sent back. I said, yeah, It's terrible, the inbreeding, and there's mongoloidism. I see them around here, and all that kind of stuff. And working class bars, it looks like the ghetto. White people dress like shit. I mean, you know, they don't even try to be decent. You know, the uniform for Saturday night is a T-shirt, a baseball cap, and a fat ass. The only place where you could run into, for the most part, good-looking white women and well-dressed men is in an upscale restaurant or upscale club or something like that. Otherwise, it's sad. It's sad. It's extremely sad. I get to the place where I don't want to go out too much anymore. One thing good, you can go to a movie and it's dark, so you don't see all these fat asses that are taking up two seats. You don't have to see them. Well, when the movie's over, you got to walk out with them. And for a white, good-looking white woman to go out with these guys, either their husbands or boyfriends that dress, you know, they usually weigh around 250 pounds, and their bellies drooping all down in front. And they're wearing maybe overalls and a T-shirt that says, "I support the Milwaukee Braves" or something like that. And then a baseball cap. Boy. What's it? Any self-respecting, decent-looking woman who would go out with that kind of stuff needs her ass kicked. But the trouble is, most of the women are the same way. I mean, I don't know how they get on a bathroom stool myself. Now, something happens to these people because if you see them coming out of high school and junior high school, a large percentage of them are trim and slim and look pretty good. What happens when they get out there and get into the workforce? What causes them to go so bad? It's a good question. Well, here's a sad story coming out of Africa, Mozambique, this week. 69 people died at a funeral. Such a large number of deaths already set for mourning was not just a tragedy for the families involved. It was painful for the entire nation of Mozambique because they drank beer that was laced with crocodile bile. Yeah, they drank beer poisoned with crocodile bile. 69 less Negroes on the face of the earth. Here's another one closer to home. According to the Chicago Tribune, Andre Brown, Mr. Negro, age 26, has been charged with first-degree murder in the stabbing to death of his mother, Demetis Collins, age 54. Brown allegedly admitted to police that he was angry with his mother for putting him down and for telling him he needed to get a girlfriend. So he knifed her about 50 times. Well, that seems logical. Well, let's see what the Socialist Equity Party has to say. They send me their stuff once in a while. Yep, and so it's about this attack in France. I like to listen to all sides. The attack on the editorial offices of Charlie Hebdo was shocking, has shocked the public, which is horrified by the violent deaths of 12 people in the center of Paris. The video images, viewed by millions of gunmen firing their weapons and killing an already wounded policeman, have imparted to the Wednesday's events an extraordinary actuality. In the immediate aftermath of the shooting, the state and the media are seeking to exploit the fear and confusion of the public. Righto. Once again, the political bankruptcy and essentially reactionary character of terrorism is exposed. It serves the interests of the state, which utilizes the opportunity provided by the terrorists to whip up support for authoritarianism and militarism. In 2003, when the Bush administration invaded Iraq, French popular opposition was so overwhelming that the government led by President Jacques Chirac was compelled to oppose the war, even in the face of massive political pressure from the United States. Now, 12 years later, as President Francois Hollande is striving to transform France into the United States' principal ally in the war on terror, the attack in Paris plays into his hands. In these efforts, Hollande can rely on the media, which in such circumstances directs all its energies towards the emotional manipulation and political disorientation of the public. The capitalist media, skillfully combining the suppression of information with half-truths and outright lies, devises a narrative that is calculated to appeal not only to the basest instincts of the broad public, but also to its democratic and idealistic sentiments. Interesting. Let's go a little farther with this and see how much we agree with these people. Throughout Europe and the United States, the claim is being made that the attack on the magazine Charlie Hebdo was an assault on the freedom of press, an unalienable right of journalists in a democratic society to express themselves without loss of freedom or fear for their lives. The killing of Charlie Hebdo, our cunis and editors, is being proclaimed an assault on the principles of free speech that are supposedly held so dear in Europe and the United States. The attack on Charlie Hebdo is thus presented as another outrage by Muslims who cannot tolerate Western freedoms. From this, the conclusion must be drawn that the war on terror, the imperialist onslaught on the Middle East, Central Asia, and North and Central Africa is an unavoidable necessity. Yeah, we got to save those people. In the midst of this orgy of democratic hypocrisy, no reference is made to the fact that the American military, in the course of its wars in the Middle East, is responsible for the deaths of at least 15 journalists. In the ongoing narrative of freedom of speech under attack, there is no place for any mention of the 2003 air-to-surface missile attack on the offices of Al Jazeera in Baghdad that left 3 journalists dead and 4 wounded. Nor is anything being written or said about the July 2007 murder of 2 Reuters journalists working in Baghdad, staff photographer Namer Nur Eldin and driver Saeed Kamag. Both men were deliberately targeted by U.S. Apache gunships while on assignment in East Baghdad. Hold it. The American international public and was first able to view a video of the cold-blooded murder of the 2 journalists as well as a group of Iraqis taken from one of the gunships. As a result of WikiLeaks' release of classified material that it had obtained from an American soldier, Corporal Bradley Chelsea Manning. And how has the United States and Europe acted to protect WikiLeaks' exercise of freedom of speech? Julian Assange, the founder and publisher of WikiLeaks, has been subjected to relentless persecution. Leading political and media figures in the United States and Canada have denounced him as a terrorist and demanded his arrest, with some even calling publicly for his murder. Assange is being pursued on fraudulent rape allegations concocted by American and Swedish intelligence services. He has been compelled to seek sanctuary in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, which is under constant guard by British police, who will seize Assange if he steps out of the embassy. As for Chelsea Manning, she is presently in prison serving out a 35-year sentence for treason. That's how the great capitalist democracies of North America and Europe have demonstrated their commitment to free speech and safety of journalists. The dishonest and hypocritical narrative spun out by the state and the media requires that Charlie Hebdo and its murdered cartoonists and journalists be upheld as martyrs to free speech and representatives of a revered democratic tradition of hard-hitting, iconoclastic journalism. In a column published Wednesday in the Financial Times, the liberal historian Simon Chamat places Charlie Hebdo in a glorious tradition of journalistic irreverence that is lifeblood of freedom. He recalls the great European satirist between the 16th and 19th centuries who subjected the great and powerful to their withering scorn. among their illustrious targets, Shama reminds us, was the brutal Duke of Alba, who in the 1500s drowned the Dutch struggle for freedom in blood. The French Sun King, Louis XIV, the British Prime Minister William Pitt, and the Prince of Wales. Satire, writes Shama, became the oxygen of politics, ventilating healthy howls of derision in coffee houses and taverns where characters circulated every day and every week. Shama places the Charlie Hebdo in a tradition of which does not belong. All the great satirists to whom Shama refers were representatives of a democratic enlightenment who were directing their scorn towards the powerful and corrupt defenders of the aristocratic privilege. In its relentless, degrading portrayals of Muslims, Charlie Hebdo has mocked the poor and the powerless. To speak bluntly and honestly about the sordid, cynical, and degraded character of Charlie Hebdo is not to condone the killing of its personnel, but when the slogan, quote, "I am Charlie," unquote, is adopted and heavily promoted by the media as a slogan of the protest demonstrations, those who have not been overwhelmed by the state and media propaganda are obligated to reply, quote, "We oppose the violent assault on the magazine, but we are not and have nothing in common with Charlie." Marxists are no strangers to the struggle to overcome the influence of religion among the masses, but they conduct this struggle with the understanding that religious faith is sustained by conditions of adversity and desperate hardship. Religion is not to be mocked, but understood and criticized as Karl Marx understood and criticized it. Quote, "Religious distress is the expression of real distress and also the protest against real distress. Religion is the sigh of the oppressed creature, the heart of a heartless world, just as it is the spirit of spiritless conditions. It is the opium of the people. To abolish religion as the illusory happiness of the people is to demand their real happiness. The demand to give up illusions about the existing affairs is the demand to give up a state of affairs that needs illusions. The criticism of religion is therefore, in the embryo, the criticism of the veil of tears, the halo which is religion. One has only to read these words to see the intellectual and moral chasm that separates Marxism from the unhealthy milieu of ex-left political cynicism that found the expression in Charlie Hebdo. There has been nothing enlightening, let alone edifying, in their puerile and often obscene denigration of the Muslim religion and its traditions. The cynical, provocative, anti-Muslim characters that have appeared on so many covers of Charlie Hebdo have pandered to and facilitated the growth of right-wing chauvinist movements in France. It is absurd to claim, by the way of defense of Charlie Hebdo, that its cartoons are all in good fun and have no political consequences. Aside from the fact that the French government is desperate to rally support for its growing military agenda in Africa and the Middle East, France is a country where the influence of the neo-fascist National Front is growing rapidly. In this political context, Charlie Hebdo has facilitated the growth of a form of politicized anti-Muslim sentiment that bears a disturbing resemblance to the politicized anti-Semitism that emerged in the mass movement in France in the 1890s. In its use of crude and vulgar characters that purvey a sinister and stereotyped image of Muslims, Charlie Hebdo recalls the cheap racist publications that played a significant role in fostering the anti-Semitic agitation that swept France during the famous Dreyfus Affair, which erupted in 1894 after a Jewish officer was accused and falsely convicted of espionage on behalf of Germany. In Whipped Up Popular Hatred of the Jews, published by the infamous Edouard Adolphe Drumont, made highly effective use of the cartoons that employed the familiar anti-Semitic devices. The characters served to inflame the public opinion, incited mobs against Dreyfus and his defenders such as Emile Zola, the greatest novelist and author, J. accused. The World Socialist website, on the basis of long-standing political principles, opposes and unequivocally condemns the terrorist assault on Charlie Hebdo. But we refuse to join in the portrayal of Charlie Hebdo as a martyr to the cause of democracy and free speech, and we warn our readers to be wary of the reactionary agenda that motivates this hypocritical and dishonest campaign. Well, I got to say I agree with a whole hell of a lot of that. I don't care whether he's a socialist or a Marxist or what he is. We're sure not getting that. It's right down to the T what's happening. They're trying to get everybody excited and get them to support more war in North Africa, Middle East, and even sub-Saharan Africa. It's all a game they play, this ruling class. No wonder they're over there marching arm in arm and all of these corrupt leaders of all these corrupt countries. No, I agree much more with this socialist than I do with the Republican capitalist, that's for sure. And I might add that these same people that are promoting all this is horrible to journalism and they were such martyrs are the same ones, the same leaders who are throwing our friends in prison all over Europe and the United States sometimes. So, I mean, it's more of the same, boys and girls. Well, well, well. Here's a little levity to the program. Amid the tears and sorrow and the defiance of the Unity March in Paris on Sunday, there was nonetheless at least one moment that managed to raise a smile. While cameras focused on the moment that President of the Republic, Francois Hollande, embraced Patrick Pilou, the doctor and columnist at Charlie Hebdo, who was one of the first on the scene after the attack, they also captured some unexpected footage. As Hollandia bends to take Pilou in his arms, a bird shits on his shoulder part of the and part of the president's sleeve. Wait a bit, I gotta see if there's any more to this story. Causing the staff from the satirical magazine to try and hide uncontrollable laughter. For the French public who have had little to laugh about in recent days, it was a scatological joke worthy of the magazine itself. The pigeon shit on the president. Believe me, all world leaders deserve more than just shit on their shoulders. I'm putting together a speech, text-to-speech, a new program. So I'm going to send out either with this show or on another email, an MP3 of our survival manual. We're going to edit it a little bit and send it out again, but give you an idea of what we're working on, so we can put a lot of stuff on this text-to-speech, probably a lot of people wouldn't read, but they'll listen to. Well, Haiti, a sister state to New York City, or Harlem, they got voodoo priests down there on the front line of Haiti's mental health care. Plagued by guilt, fear, trauma, and grief, mental illness remains a reality for many Haitians still struggling to cope with the loss of their relatives, homes, even limbs after the aftermath of that earthquake they had down there. You ever notice how hard it is for Negroes to come back from anything? Yeah, well, waiting for Whitey to come down there and pick their ass up and get them going again. Now, the latest I heard, the reason nobody gives a shit about Haiti is they just want Haiti to be calm and stay out of the news, because Haiti is in the path of some major shipping that goes from there over to the Panama Canal. And any uprising in Haiti, and of course then that affects the Dominican Republic, and then of course there's Cuba right there too. They just want to pretend Haiti doesn't exist. Be quiet, Haiti. That's it. Remember that Rick Santorum that was trying to run for president the last time? How about this? Santorum criticizes potential GOP rivals as bomb throwers. And the only experience they have basically is bomb throwing. Do we really want somebody who's a bomb thrower with no track record of any accomplishments? Unquote. Wow, it's getting started early. Intercene warfare, man. Well, psychological scar of Guantanamo. Joint Chiefs Chairman General Martin Dempsey says the infamous U.S. Navy base, quote, does create a psychological scar on our national values, whether it should or not, it does, unquote. My comment is, what national values? I haven't seen any for a long time. Well, nitwit from Israel, Netanyahu, rained on France's parade. This is from Jew sources. France allegedly snubbed Israel and didn't want Netanyahu at the rally. But it was important that Netanyahu pushed his way to the front of the line. God damn it, move over. The kike is here. Make up your mind, Jewish people. Jews are leaving France. Usually it's the other way around. 10,000 to arrive in Israel in 2015, and I'll bet you a few more of them are killed over there in France. It'll be a lot more than 10,000. French Jewry is the largest new immigrant wave to Israel. Oh, figures more than doubled in 2014, and 10,000 new immigrants are expected in 2015, but I'll bet you it's twice that many. The new anti-Semitism. Chesler forces, our eyes to see, our ears to hear. When Phyllis Chesler first published The New Anti-Semitism more than a decade ago, it was a glowing lamp in a darkening night. Since that time, the Jewish press readers know that much has gotten worse. Anti-Semitism, or anti-Jewism, is louder, more widely and brazenly espoused, with less shame than it had been in decades. Wow. You remember not too far back when Israel was bombing the shit out of Gaza? Totally destroyed it down to nothing? Well, here's the mayor of Jerusalem. Let's see what he's got to say. The hypocrisy is so thick you could walk on it. Whoops. Wait a minute.
We identify and we are here with condolences and a big hug to the French people for the loss of lives and for strengthening the French people in our fight, our mutual fight against terror. The message from Jerusalem, and unfortunately we understand what the French people are going through right now. The message is, we love you, we hug you, we're with you in the fight against terror. The goal of the terror is to derail our values, to hurt the foundation where modern societies are based on. And our strong message to the terrorists, you will not win. Well, naturally, they're both have created by extreme terrorists, extreme Muslims, that are trying to derail our lives. They're trying to kill us because we're Jews. They're trying to kill us because we have modern values, because we believe in life, and they believe in death. And it's unfortunate because you cannot negotiate with extreme terrorists. They're not interested in peace and coexistence. They're interested to dictate their extreme Islamist way of life. And so that's the common denominator between them all. I called the mayor of Paris, shared the condolences with her, and basically strengthened the people of Paris in the hard times they're going through.
We got to come up with a new word for hypocrisy. Hypocrisy don't quite handle it anymore. There's got to be something bigger than hypocrisy, because I can't believe these people can all get up there and speak with a straight face. It's absolutely unbelievable. On both sides. Yeah, everybody, why is everybody always picking on me? What a bunch of crap. Uh-oh, this is a big problem. On Monday, January the 12th, two of the social media accounts belonging to the U.S. Central Command, CENTCOM, were hacked by forces friendly to ISIS. Gee. And those dumb Arabs did that? CENTCOM's Twitter and YouTube accounts were hacked and for several minutes carried the messages promoting the Islamic State. One message said, "American soldiers, we are coming. Watch your back. ISIS." Jeez. Yeah, they broke it, hacked right on in. Wow, how about that? They must not all be dumb desert dwellers over there. An entity claiming to be Cyber Caliphate took responsibility for the attacks. In some of the messages posted by the hackers identifying information such as email addresses and home addresses of top U.S. generals were included. In addition, PowerPoint slides, which purported to be plans for dealing with Korea and China, were posted. Other threatening messages, such as, "In the name of Allah, we are watching you," were posted. ISIS propaganda videos are briefly uploaded to CENTCOM's YouTube account. Quote, "We can confirm that the U.S. Central Command Twitter account was compromised earlier today," a defense official told Fox News. "CENTCOM is taking appropriate measures to address the matter," unquote. The cyber attack sent U.S. military officials scrambling to respond. Quote, "This is bad," unquote. One Central Command source told Fox TV. The White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest acknowledged that the hacking was taken very seriously by Obama, who's got a migraine headache, but took pains to emphasize the differences between large data breach and the hacking of a Twitter account. He says officials are investigating the extent of the incident, and heads will fucking roll. Ah! Now, if you don't think that's a big deal, it says here U.S. Central Command, CENTCOM, is one of the 9 unified commands in the United States military. CENTCOM's area of responsibility is located between the European and Pacific combatant commands. CENTCOM covers a central area of the world and consists of 20 countries, including Afghanistan, Egypt, Iran, Iraq, Kazakhstan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Pakistan, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Syria, and Yemen. Wow. I don't think I told you, but maybe I did. You know all that oil that's going to go through the Keystone pipeline down to the Gulf and then over to China? Well, the reason it's going to China is because China already owns the whole oil field up in Canada. So and they got a phony cover corporation name on it. But the Chinese bought all that oil, and then we're going to let them come down through that pipeline all the way to the Gulf and ship it over there. What's all this fear of the China, this terrible threat of China? China's liable to do something bad, and we're allowing thousands of miles of pipeline across the country to get that stuff to them? How about that? How many people do you hear talking about that, that the Chinese own all that oil and the oil wells where it's coming from? Nice work, Canada, stabbing us in the back. Oh, well. There's millions of people down here stabbing us in the back. How do you stab yourself in the back? Stand in front of a mirror and do something weird? And guess who's the biggest promoters of the Keystone Pipeline? The Republican Party and the Republican congressmen and senators. Yeah, Manchurian candidate revisited. They just won't own up to the fact that we're winning. And we will ultimately win. Always white racism will win. So relax. Well, I'm trying to play something.
Introducing Data Stash. Now a
this morning in Roanoke to try to figure out the true meaning of diversity. Community leaders say racism is back in the spotlight, and WDBJ7 Shane Dwyer was there as they shared the message.
For 10th grade student Rohan Chakraborty, jokes about race are something he experiences more often than he'd like.
When people say those sort of like degrading comments and they say, "Oh no, I'm just kidding or joking," it's really blatantly obvious that they don't mean that.
It's comments like those that drive him to make his community a better place.
I want to learn how to communicate with others, so, you know, stand up to prejudice and bullying.
Students of all ages took notes Sunday morning at a diversity seminar hosted by Voices of Faith and the Virginia Center for Inclusive Communities.
Racism has, as I said earlier, raised its ugly head in this
country.
We're
gonna get you.
And we have pockets of this Roanoke Valley, although it still is a great place to live.
Oh, us little old ladies.
Not everybody is included fully.
A fact that may often get overlooked,
the
but
Christians.
Not always on purpose.
And it becomes hard to be able to
they stole my
connect
symbol.
With other people.
They
I don't
stole
even
my
know
symbol.
That I should be asking certain questions.
Speakers from across the state shared their ways of making sure no one's left out. And it wasn't long after that before the real life ideas started flowing.
Well, right now, I've talked to a couple of friends. I'm still trying to figure out what, but I'm thinking of maybe starting a diversity club.
A small step in the right direction, students hope, can help make a big difference. In Roanoke, Shane Dwyer, WDBJ 7.
2,000 people.
99% of those people are white women over 50 from the churches, mixed with some Negroes. Mostly whites, but the funny thing about it is the sign that they had on their board in front of this group had our non-equal symbol in it. Why? They're stealing our stuff. And why would they put the non-equal sign on their stuff? Well, I'll tell you, we got them outfoxed, outsmarted every place we go, man. Well, they got problems in Dresden. Yeah, a rally against racism and xenophobia on Saturday drew tens of thousands of people in the eastern German city of Dresden, which has become the center of anti-immigration protests organized by the new grassroots movement called PEGIDA. Quote, "We won't permit that hate will divide us," Dresden's mayor Helma Oritz said in front of the 18th century Church of Our Lady. Around 35,000 people attended. Of course, they're exaggerating. They always exaggerate when it's the other side. And will jointly organized by the state government of Saxony. City of Dresden officials said, oh, it was organized by the government. They probably gave them all a bucket of beer for that. The movement, Patriotic Europeans Against the Islamization of the West, PEGIDA, is holding weekly rallies in Dresden with a record number of non-government supported 18,000 people attending last Monday. Chancellor Angela Merkel has condemned the anti-Muslim demonstrations, urging Germans to turn their backs on the movement and calling their organizers racist, full of hatred. Well, if I was being overrun by Muslims as bad as Germany is, of course I'd hate. But who's hating who the most? I think Angela Merkel is a hater. And besides, you're not a very nice-looking woman. Okay, what else here? A recent survey conducted before Wednesday's deadly attacks on the French satirical magazine showed that an increasing majority of non-Muslim Germans feel threatened by Islam. Well, yeah, the capitalistas bring them in there as workers to cut labor costs down, and the churches work on the people. Now, you shouldn't feel bad. These people are nice people. They just come here to improve their lot, you know. They just need a break here. Pretty soon they're breeding you out of town. Anyhow, that's the way it goes, and that's why I say no world leader can be trusted. Angela, I'd like to kick your ass. France has mobilized 10,000 troops, it says, to protect the Jews, even as they scurry to get on the ships to go to Israel. That's about it for today. Yeah, that's about it on the 12th of January 2015, Moon's Day. We'll be back with you tomorrow on Tears Day and see what crap we can dig up for tomorrow. How about that? 14-5, especially 5. Yeah, I have nothing to say. I'm going to send you out this audio MP3 of our survival manual and see what you think. Okay, sayonara. We'll be right back.
nothing new, but a woman like you, babe, she never had the blues. Let me help.